Reading from Jivadharma, Chapter 10, Nitya Dharma and History. Sri Harihara Bhattacharya was a professor residing in Agradweep. He had accepted initiation into Vaishnava Dharma and was engaged in the worship of Bhagavan Sri Krishna in his home. But a doubt arose in his mind about Vaishnavism, which he could not dispel, even after speaking to many people about it. In fact, such talk only agitated his mind further. One day, Harihara went to the village of Arkatila and inquired from Sri Chaturbhuj Nayaratna, "Bhattacharya Mahasai, can you tell me how long ago Vaishnav Dharma appeared?" Om Gyanatimadandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Taksur and Mulatam Yena Tazmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vaedacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sridham Mayapur. Probably the next class will be the Sunday class will still be in Mayapur. The next Wednesday class will be in Puri. I'm just giving my class every day and have a very peaceful day where I'm getting some work done and meeting all the nice Vaishnavas here. You know, we come to the Holy Dham not because we have so much ability to access the Holy Dham, but we come to the Holy Dham because of the saintly people that reside here. And it's nice. I mean, it's just booming. I mean, there's apartment building after apartment building being put up. That's all I could say. Fortunately, a little bit outside of the master plan, they still have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres that are free that hopefully they'll keep for gardens and forest and around the temple. But, people want to live in a Vaishnav community, and somehow it's still easier to live in India, not as expensive. Okay, so let me get to where we are. Somehow it skipped. I don't know why it skipped. Okay, so good. We're up to chapter 10, and it's amazing how many books we can cover in just an hour a week. So we're already on chapter 10 of Jivadharma. And I think most of the people that are listening are regulars and know that, you know, the story basically is of people coming to Krishna consciousness from different backgrounds and therefore require different backgrounds, different understandings, and then thus require different subjects to enlighten them. And the people, the enlightenerers, are people the generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gojram Dweep, one of the nine islands of Sri Navadweep Dham. And it's so interesting. We kind of follow the stories of people coming to Krishna consciousness. So this is one Harihara Bhattacharya. It's a professor. And he was initiated into Vaishnavism and worshiping Krishna. But you know, there were people opposed to Vaishnavism, and were claiming it's a something that's modern, you know, kind of coming at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a substantial challenge. So he goes to one scholar, and this scholar, you know, is a substantial study of the Naya Shastras. They didn't really take to, you know, religion. He was just into debate, and the only devotional tendency he had is he sometimes worshipped the goddess Durga, which is very common in Bengal. So when this Nyayaratna heard the question, and he thought that Harihara was partial to Vaishnavism, he thought the person was coming to get an argument. He wanted to avoid the conflict. So he was thinking like this, and then he this Nyayaratna asked, what kind of question are you asking me today? You've studied the Naya Shastra all the way up to the Muktipad section. You know there's not a mention of Vaishnav Dharma anywhere, so why are you asking me this strange question? So this Harihara is becoming a little bit disturbed, because when your faith is challenged, the foundations of your life are shaken. And he explains to this Nyayaratna that for generations his forefathers have been Vaishnavas. He's got the Vaishnav mentioned, means they worship Vishnu. And they never had any doubt. But now there's a Tarka Chudamani, and he's against this Vaishnav religion, and he's preaching against it very locally and going around, and he's getting a great following. And a meeting where I was attending, mostly the worships of Durga, he proclaimed that the Vaishnav religion is very recent, has no philosophical basis, it's only for low-class people. High-class people won't respect it because it has no philosophical basis. And Harihara explained, when he heard this from such a scholar, it pained his heart. But when he thought it over, he's telling Nyayaratna, it occurred to me that Vaishnav Dharma didn't exist in Bengal prior to the appearance of Chaitanya Day. They weren't worshipping Vishnu, he said. Everyone worshipped Durga and Shakti mantras. He said, now, my family was Vaishnavas, and we were reciting Vaishnav mantras, but our goal was to attend Mukti and liberation. And this is the type of Vaishnav we were initiated. It's called Panchaposhana, where you can worship different gods, but to become one with God. But after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, Vaishnav Dharma became different. And so Harihara is saying it became different. And Vaishnava, he's telling him, can't even stand to hear the word mukti. So now he wants to know, he's asking, did this type of Vaishnava Dharma that's promoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it exist previously? Or is it just really basically a creation of Chaitanya Dev? Now this Nayaratna, his face, it blossomed because he was saying, okay, this Harihari is not this orthodox Vaishnava. So he was a little bit relieved. So he saw like, oh yeah, he has allies. He said, yes, you're a true scholar. You have expressed exactly what I believe. This day there is an upsurge of Vaishnava Dharma, and I'm afraid to say anything against it. And even respectable gentlemen, wealthy people have accepted Chaitanya's doctrine, and they disregard us, and they think we're the enemies, and it'll really hurt our profession. It'll be lost in time, because even the inferior caste due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like gold merchants and oil and betel leaf sellers, are studying the Shastra, so it's no longer the jurisdiction of the Brahmins. And a long time ago, the Brahmins arranged that no other caste would study the Shastras, even the Kayasa, that's just below the Brahmin caste. That's interesting, too, because Bhakti Siddhanta was from the Kayasta caste. That means Bhakti Vinod Thakur was from the Kayasta caste, so he's considered just below the Brahmins. So now this Nayaratna being questioned by Harihari, he continues that people of all castes have become Vaishnavas and deliberate on philosophical truth, and this damaged the reputation of the Brahmins. And that this Chaitanya Dev is destroying Brahmin Dharma. And whatever this Tarka Chatamuni, whatever his motive is, he's spoken correctly about Chaitanya Dev. And when I hear the words of Vaishnavas, my body burns in anger. They even go to far as say that Shankaracharya established Mayavadi Shastra on the order of Bhagavanam itself, and that the Vaishnava religion is eternal. This religion has sprung up not even 100 years ago, and now has become eternal. Amazing. Whatever glory Navadvipa has attained is laid to waste. And the Vaishnavas are destroying everything. The occupational duties of the four castes, the eternal truth of the Mayavadi doctrine, the worship of devatas and devis, they're going to all fade into oblivion. How are we Brahmins to survive? People even don't perform the sadha ceremony. So how will we live? And then Harihari, he replied, Mahatma, is there no remedy for this? Maybe we can get some great scholars, and I know some in Mayapur and Akuliagram who are well-versed in Smriti and Naya. If they can combine together and attack the Vaishnava scholars, it'll bear fruit. And this Nayaratna is now intrigued that he also agreed with him, or in agreement. Now, that, of course, Harihara came to him and with some doubts, and the Ayurat reaffirmed his doubts. But Nairatna, he became a little bit worried. He said, because there was another Krishna Chudamani who went to the Vaishnavas and initiated the debate, and they became defeated. We actually heard that because the Vaishnavas had so much scholarship and knowledge. And Hari Arya suggested to the Bhattacharya that perhaps he can do it because he's so learned. And that if he, this Nayaratna, was determined, he could defeat all the Vaishnavas and establish that Vaishnavism is a modern invention. And this will establish, reestablish the Pancha Potion of worship, which will be finished. Which even, you can almost see that by the preaching of the Vaishnavas, it is finished. This idea that you worship any god and you can merge. And they're just a vehicle. Prabhupada called that a philosophy of prostitute. She enjoys the man until she gets the money, and then she has no need. So they worship the deity. And you can see how Vaishnavism has become so prominent in India by Prabhupada, actually. But this Nayaratna was a little afraid to debate them. So he decides to go in disguise. And this Harihara will arrange for that to happen. So on Monday, these three professors, Harihara, Kamalakanta, meet with this Sri Chaturbhuj Nayaratna and escort him across the Ganga to Godhra. And they arrive at the Madhavi Grove, where the Paramahamsa Babaji Vaishnav, these great exalted Vaishnavas that we're reading about, live. And, you know, go to their grove and you know, announce themselves, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And Advaita Das comes to greet them. Advaita Das comes to greet them. And remember, Advaita Das was this zamindar whose name used to be Lahari Mahasai, and the previous chapter was his old friend came to Digambar on the glories of materialism and basically worshiping the material energy. And worshiping the material energy, there's some worship involved, but it's mostly some concoction of being high class and cultured in a very superficial way. And so it's nice to meet people that we've already met before. So this Advaita Das greets them and inquires, with how may I be of service to you? That's the Vaishnava's mood. He wants to serve everyone. Harihara said, we have come to discuss some matters with the Vaishnavas. The waiter said, the Vaishnavas of this place do not debate on any topic. However, it's all right if you've come to inquire submissively about something. The other day, a few professors initiated a full-scale debate on the pretext of making some inquiries. In the end, they left greatly disturbed. I will ask Paramahamsa Babaji Mahasai and then give you an answer. Saying this, he entered Babaji Mahasai's kutir. So they're not interested in debate, because generally Vaishnava is not interested in power to control the world. When one is the superiority of one's knowledge, but they're interested in enlightening people. So they don't have this kind of ego in them. If they have to debate to defend the Siddhanta, the conclusions, they will. But it's just not in their culture to, and in their heart, to position themselves for superiority. A few minutes later, Advaita Das returned and arranged more mats for sitting. Then Paramahamsa Babaji Maasai came into the grove and offered dandavats to Brinda Devi and then to the cultured Brahmin visitors. O great souls, please order us what service can you do for you. So that's the mood. Now the guru comes, Paramahamsa Vaishnava. This is what is there any service? This is so much the mood of a Vaishnava. Nayaratna said, we have one or two questions to ask and we'd like you to answer them. When Paramahamsa Babaji Mahasai heard this request, he summoned Sri Vaishnav Das Babaji to join them. And remember, Vaishnav Das Babaji, and I think most of the people that are listening have been following this, he was Sannyas Thakur. Now, and he was the Mayavadi sannyasi that became converted, and he was very learned. And often when there's issues of debate, they call him and they use his vast learning and his previous qualifications, now engaged in Vaishnavism. When Vaishnav Das Babaji arrived, he offered pranams. Paramahamsa Babaji and sat next to him. Within a short while, a small group of Vaishnavas had gathered. Nayaratna Mahasaya then asked his question. And this is the key question of the whole chapter. Please tell us whether the Vaishnava religion is ancient or modern. Paramahamsa Babaji requested Vaishnav Das to respond. In a peaceful yet grave tone of voice, Vaishnav Das said, the Vaishnav Dharma is Sanatan, everlasting, and Nitya, eternal. So he just answers the question. Perhaps hoping that there's just some submissive inquiries, but thinking that, yeah, it may come for debate. But there's no passion in his voice. He's self-satisfied. Paramahamsa Babaji Maasai requested Vaishnav Das to respond, but he did. Nayanaratna. So now he outlines his case. And he describes that there's two types of Vaishnav Dharma. And one is impersonal. They say that the Paratattva, known as Brahman, is formless, devoid of qualities. Because you can't worship an object which is formless, the sadhakas first have to imagine that Brahman has some form, and then they worship that. And actually, all it shows is that every path is dependent on bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on anything. But jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti because you have to worship. You have to somehow invoke some mercy to enable you to achieve something that's impossible to achieve by your own qualification. This worship is needed only to purify the heart. He explains, when the heart is purified, knowledge of the formless Brahman arises, and there's no need to worship any forms. It says the forms of Radha Krishna, Ram, Nishringa, they're imaginary, they're byproducts of Maya. And when one worships these imaginary forms, the knowledge of Brahman awakens. Among worshippers of the five deities, there are one, there's Ganesh, there's Shiva, there's Durga, and Vishnu, and one other. So among these impersonalists, He says there are those who worship the deity of Vishnu and recite Vishnu mantras, and therefore they consider themselves Vaishnavas. So this is one type, so Nayana Ratna says. And now there's a second type where the form of Bhagavan, Vishnu, Ram, and Krishna are accepted as Paratattva, their eternal forms, and the sadhaka worships one of these forms with the corresponding mantras. He attains eternal knowledge of the specific deity whom he worships and receives the mercy of that deity. And according to this view, the doctrine of impersonalism is Mayavad, which is a misconception that Shankara has propagated. Now tell us, which of these two types of Vaishnavism is everlasting and eternal? So because Vaishnavism is eternal. So he said, okay, now there are two types that are considered Vaishnavism. One, you worship Vishnu, and it could be any demigod, basically, but you worship Vishnu as a limited temporary form to somehow get knowledge of Brahman, and the other that accepts these as eternal forms. Vaishnav Das, the second of these is real Vaishnav Dharma and is eternal. The other is Vaishnav Dharma in name only. In reality, this pseudo Vaishnav Dharma is opposed to real Vaishnav Dharma. It is temporary and has originated from Mayavadi doctrine. Nyaya Ratna. I understand that in your opinion, the only true Vaishnav Dharma is the doctrine that you have received from Chaitanya Dev. You not accept that the worship of Radha Krishna Ram and Sringa constitutes. I don't understand this absolutely. Just for a second. I'm going to read it and then see if I can figure it out. He says, I understand that in your opinion, the only true Vaishnava Dharma is the doctrine that you have received from Chaitanya Deva. You do not accept that the worship of Radha, Krishna, Ramana, Sringa constitutes Vaishnava Dharma in and of it itself. You only accept the worship of Radha, Krishna, other deities as Vaishnava Dharma if it is in accordance with the theology of Chaitanya. If this is so, it is a fine idea, but how can you claim that this type of Vaishnava Dharma is eternal? In other words, you don't accept that just worshiping the deities is Vaishnava Dharma. Vaishnava Dharma is when you worship the deities. As eternal forms of God. And if that's your idea, he said, how can you claim that this is eternal? Basically, he keeps on coming to the point. This was started by Chaitanya Dev. Vaishnava Das. This type of Vaishnava Dharma is taught throughout the Vedic Shastras and is instructed in all the Shruti Shastras. All the Vedas, history, sing the glories of Vaishnava Dharma. Nyayaratna, it is obvious that Chaitanya Dev is the pioneer of this doctrine, but he appeared less than 150 years ago, so how can it be eternal? Now, we'll kind of finish today's session where I'll read Vaishnav Das's response, and he gives all the shastra. Well, we won't finish it all, but so, he'll give the references. This is what Vaishnava Das says, so listen carefully. This Vaishnava Dharma has been in existence from the moment of the Jiva's appearance. The Jivas are anadi because they have no beginning in material time. Therefore, the constitutional function of the Jivas, known as Jiva Dharma or Vaishnava Dharma, is also anadi. Brahma is the first jiva to take birth in this universe. As soon as he appeared, the Vedic sound vibration, which is the basis of Vaishnava Dharma, has become manifest. This is recorded in the four essential slokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.9.33-36, known as the Chatushloki. It is also mentioned in the Mundaka Upanishads. So he's now going to give quotes how Vaishnav Dharma. So he quotes from the Bhagavatam, which says that as soon as the first living entity came out, which was Brahma, he was instructed in four verses, which which espouse Vaishnav Dharma. That's the Chatur Shloki. So he's saying, right at the beginning of creation, you're thinking it's just 500 years ago? But the Krishna consciousness movement, it didn't start with Mahaprabhu. He's the main one who propagated it. But it starts with Lord Brahma. And he receives it from Krishna himself at the beginning of creation. And now he's going to quote from the Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishads, Brahma Devanam Pitamasambhuva Vishvasya Karta Bhuvanasya Gopta Sabrahma Vidyam Sadavidya Pratishtam Atava Desta Putayata. Brahma, who is the first of all devas, and who appeared from the lotus that sprouted from the navel of Bhagavan, is the creator of this universe, the maintainer of all living entities. He imparted Brahma Vidya, which is the basis of all knowledge, unto his eldest son Atharva. So basically what he's saying, he's affirming that Brahma is the first living entity. And the Rig Veda mentions the instructions of this. So it says that he gave this knowledge, and then the Rig Veda mentions what these instructions were. Tadishnu paramam padam siddhapashanti seho diva chakshu atitam. The suras, celestial beings, always behold the supreme abode of Bhagavan's true Vishnu, just as the unobstructed eye sees the sun within the sky. So that's Vaishnavism, that's worship of Vishnu. So this is the knowledge that with this Brahma Vidya was, that's very, very famous, the Vishnu Paramam. And it is said in the Katha Upanishads, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. The supreme abode of Bhagavan, Sri Vishnu, is the highest attainment. And the Svetashvatara Upanishad says, Sarva Disha Udvam Adastitiryak Vakashayam Rajate Tad Manadvam. Bhagavan is the supreme person and the original source of all the Vedas. He is the supreme object of worship and is one without a second. Just as the sun shines radiantly, illuminating all directions, upwards, downwards, and all sides, so Bhagavan regulates material nature, which is the origin of all different species of life. In the Taittiriya Upanishads 2.1.2. Satyam Jnanam Ananta Brahma Yoveda Nidatam Guhayam Paramam Deom. Paratattva Brahman is the embodiment of truth, knowledge, and eternity. Although that Parabrahman is situated in the spiritual sky, he's hidden in the sky of the hearts of living entities. One who knows Ishvara, who is situated within as the indwelling supersoul, attains the consummation of all his desires in contact with the all-knowing Sri Hari. So he quotes from both Smriti, the Bhagavatam, and Shruti, what was originally spoken in the Vedas. So Nayanaratna, a logician, says, the Rig Veda does state Tad Vishnu Paramamparam. They see the supreme abode of Vishnu. How can you say this doesn't refer to the Vaishnav Dharma that is included in the Mayavadi doctrine? He said that, yes, okay. They said you worship Vishnu, but we already said that this worship of Vishnu, the eternal Vaishnav Dharma is you worship Vishnu to attain Brahman. Vaishnav Das, the Vaishnav Dharma that is included within the scope of Mayavadi rejects the conception of eternal service to ship the Bhagavad. The Mayavadis believe that when the sadhaka acquires knowledge, he attains the status of Brahman. However, where is the question of service if one becomes Brahman? It is stated in the Katha Upanishads, this is a very famous verse, 1-23. Mayam atma pavachanena labho namediyana bhuna shrutena yamai yam e vaisha vitike tena ravyat kashaisha atma divinte tenum swam. That paramatma, parabrahma, cannot be attained by theoretical explanations, by intelligence, or even by hearing the Vedic extensively. That Paramatma is obtainable only by one who upon whom he bestows his mercy. Being pleased with that person's attitude of unalloyed service, only to such a person does Sri Hari reveal his own. The only true religion is the constitutional function of service and surrender. There is no other means to attain Bhagavan's mercy and see his eternal form. Knowledge of Brahman will not enable one to attain darshan of Bhagavan's eternal form. We can understand from this categorical Vedic statement that pure Vaishnav Dharma is found upon the Vedas. All the Vedas sanction the Vaishnav Dharma that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. There is no room for doubt in this regard. Nayaratna, is there any statement in the Vedas to the effect that Krishna Bhajan and not realization of Brahma-jnana is the highest attainment? And we'll do that next week. Are there any questions? There are no questions. Would someone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Paul. Gail, Hare Krishna.
I did have a question about that point that was being made about the fact that worship of the deity alone does not constitute Vaishnavism. So, I just wasn't clear.
Mayavadis are impersonalists, and they worship the deity, right?
Okay, yeah.
They worship the deity, but it's not real love. Real Vaishnavism is love, because it's like the prostitute, they just to get the money. So to get liberation, they worship the deity, but they don't even believe the deity is eternal. So basically what here is being said is there. Yeah, that Tantra potion. Okay. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Gail, that was the easiest question you ever asked me. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I think I go, woo.
Yeah, I must right be here, flipping.
You must be coming just a simple... Hearted, faithful Vaishnavi. It's great. I'm here in Mayapur. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, wow, the place I have is just so nice. And from my window, I can see the yoga pit, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. And it's so nice. I come out in the morning to their temple room, living room. in a beautiful corner where I just sit so peacefully with the whole family chanting. It's so nice. We all just chanted for about 2 hours. Yuga and Jagadish, and Jagadish's mother who lives with them. And then the mother took the daughter to Mangal Arti the second she's 5 years old. At 4:30 in the morning, and she goes 3-4 times a week. She's so excited to go to Mangal Arti.
Wow!
Yeah, no, but and the school that she goes a few times a week, the younger children go. They go to bed early and they get peaceful. And they get up and they're so happy to go to Mangal Arti.
Wow!
And, I was surprised because. You know, I get up early. I get up about 2:30 in the morning. So I get up, and then I had to read this over before, and then I did a little exercise in the morning. Then I took my bath, and when I came out there, she was already there. You know, with her school backpack and things, and I told Hugo, I said, "Boy, Marge is really crushed." You know, it's really humbling. The little girl's up before me. I think she's 6 now or something. Very happy in school. She loves it. And also, Jonathan's daughter. It's just amazing to see her level of culture, you know, her respect. It's just amazing. Because they live near me, so when I walk down this particular, basically a dirt road, it's a dirt road, not even paved, to get to the temple. And it's like one road that I often pass her and Janava, and just so. If she's on a bicycle, she gets off the bike and pays obeisances, or she's riding on the back of her mother's motor scooter, she puts her hand on her heart. Bows her head. So it's nice to see. And they have their school here. Well, they have many schools, but the one that they go to is very nice. It's good. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Bhumara,
Radha Radha. Hey, Hare Krishna. Those who are following me, we will... eventually get to so many interesting subjects, even Nam Tattva, Nam Aparad, so many different subjects will come up chapter after chapter, so maybe we'll go fast and catch them. Okay, anybody else like to? Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for now.